Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I am, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always the lovely and charming Diane Brierley. And, of course, the amazing, though highly irritating at times.
Seriously.
At times?
Ross, me.
Most of the time.
Apparently don't listen to the show.
Ross Alan Skorzewski, engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this really boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. This is how the show works. You can send a question about anything. Nothing's off limits. And remain totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are, including us. We, in turn, then, are brutally honest. This is the show of brutal honesty. If you're not comfortable with that, you might want to check out a different show. If we can be of help, we'll try and be of help. If we think you're thinking great, we will celebrate it. If we think you're crazy, we will tell you. Three possible outcomes in the crazy department. If we think you're really thinking silly and you need to wake up, we will give you a swirly. A swirly is when you stick your head in the toilet and you flush it and the water swirls around your head. Trying to wake you up out of your craziness. If we think you're really nuts, you also get a goat button. And if you're blathering too much about a bunch of nonsense that doesn't make any sense, you will get this button. So we'll see how it all works out. What have you got there for us today?
Okay, this is actually an article that a listener sent to me. It's called 10 Reasons to Dump a Guy Immediately.
I like
it
already.
Don't wait, do not pass go, do not collect $200. Dump him.
Just dump him. All right.
Reason number one, he calls women the B word.
So he's cursing at women.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dump him.
Dump him right away. No question about that.
Reason two.
He's beautiful.
Beautiful. No, not beautiful. If he calls you beautiful, that's okay. It's a different word.
All right.
Reason two, he's attached to his mother's apron strings. Attached to mother.
Which means what?
Mama's girl.
Because there's nothing wrong with
Mama's
a man
boy.
Who loves his mother,
Mama's
but
boy.
If you see signs that his loyalty to mom surpasses all else, then it's time to make a hasty retreat.
Yeah, I would buy with. I'd buy into that. Okay.
Reason three, he's only interested in himself. A perpetual
Sorry, Debbie Gunger.
Narcissist. If he's a
Where's reason number three?
It's stuck in the middle of that paragraph.
Oh,
I don't know. It didn't print properly.
He wanted to sneak
there
that one
it
in.
Is.
He only thinks about himself. He's consumed about himself. It's all about his. He has his own opinions. Nothing else matters but what he thinks. Good reason to dump him. All right.
Mm-hmm. Number four, he has unresolved addiction issues.
That's a for sure.
Addiction to anything. Drugs, gambling, porn, whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%
dump
on that.
Yum.
And here the problem is girls will fall in love with him. Oh, I can fix him. I can save him.
Well, and I have to just forgive him. That was his past, but they don't realize that an addiction sticks with you and that it's very apt to impact your relationship. Number five.
Well, no.
Unresolved addiction.
The fact that someone's had addiction issues, I don't have a problem with that. A lot of people
I mean, if they're still, he is and he isn't, he's only been clean for 6 weeks and he keeps going back, that would be unresolved.
Got it, okay.
They think that what I'm saying is they think that, he's been, good for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. No.
He's 24 hours, he's gone without shooting heroin. I think he's okay.
Right.
All right.
Number five, he's not honest or trustworthy.
Well, that's pretty clear. If he's a liar,
yes,
dump him.
You want to dump him. number six, he has a relentlessly negative outlook.
And this guy's by their own admission, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Everything's, well, that one guy wrote us.
Yeah.
Critical of everybody. That's dump them, man.
Yes.
Just if they're negative all the time, get rid of them.
Seven, he's got Peter Pan syndrome.
What's that mean?
Won't grow
Think
up.
Think about it. Yep.
It's good to have, a kid at heart, but he has to have a good sense of fiscal and emotional responsibility if he refuses to grow up.
Okay, that's good.
Number eight, he lacks ambition. No goals. I mean, these girls who date these guys that don't have jobs or don't do anything. No ambition in life.
What do you think they're thinking? I just think they're desperate.
I think so, too.
I just think they're desperate.
And they think they can change him.
All right.
Number nine, he's a cheater.
Yeah, that's a big problem there.
He cheats on you.
If he cheats on you before you say I do, he will cheat on you after you say I do.
Or if you're constantly concerned about it. Maybe he hasn't, but you think he has, and he's walking the line with Facebook and other women. Just dump him.
Exactly.
And the last one, this could, I guess, include just about anything. He isn't good boyfriend material. If he's not a good boyfriend, he's not going to be a good husband either, I guess.
And again,
dump him.
You'll talk to these women who tell of these horrible husbands, and you'll say, well, was he like that before you married him? And they always say, yeah. Well, what were you thinking?
They weren't.
I don't know. Pretty crazy.
But most of them were having sex. We know that.
That's the truth. You know what erases all this? If you're having sex with him, girls,
you won't see a lot of
sex. Sex will make you stupid. I think it makes women way stupider than men. And there's probably some science to that, quite frankly. It really clouds your emotions, clouds your brains. The minute you start getting physical with a guy, you won't see the stuff anymore. You've got to stay disconnected sexually so you can look and think with your brain. Otherwise, you're going to make a big mistake and be really, really miserable. All right, we will jump into the emails and see what kind of misery we can uncover today. We'll be back right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
This show, The Mark Gunger Show, is being brought to you by Audible.com. They are the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 titles. That's a lot of titles. Diane's probably read them all, being the proficient reader. You read a lot, actually.
Not as much as I used to, just because I don't have time, but I do read
there, again, that's the time factor. Mm-hmm. And then there's people who just don't like to read. So, I mean, one of the nice ways of getting around that and getting good information in your brain is to listen to it. Now we have technology where you can hear books, and Audible.com has all these books at their disposal because they have so many on file. And here's the deal. As a sponsor of the show and to all the listeners of this program, they are giving a special offer. If you will go to their site, that is audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, they will give you one download for free. Pick any book in the world, download it for free, listen to it. At a minimum, you got a book for free. Everybody ought to go do this just to get a free book or nothing else. All right. And you also get a 30-day free trial. So check it out. Go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger today. And get your free book and get started. See if this can make a difference in your life. AudiblePodcast.com. Do it. AudiblePodcast.com/Gunger. Mm-hmm. Do it today. We are back. Mark Gunger Show. Talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails.
Okay, this is an interesting little one to start off with. It's not a question, but this guy wrote in. He was watching the show The Dog Whisperer. Do you know what that is?
Uh-uh.
Where Caesar Milan, is that his name?
Caesar Milan, yes.
He takes badly behaving dogs and helps people train them if their dogs have issues and things
like
that.
Can you get badly behaving people and do that?
That's what the comment is, because he was watching the show and the woman had two dogs and no rules, and the dogs were totally neurotic. It's never a dog problem. It's a trainer problem. That's always what it comes down to on the show. So while Caesar's talking to the women who rescues these dogs and with no rules, apparently she seemed to have bad men in her life as well as her bad dogs. And Caesar, the dog whisperer guy, said to her, "It's the same. You cannot cure a neurotic, badly behaving man with affection, just like you cannot help a dog with affection when they're acting badly."
Wow.
He's like, wow, that sounds familiar. So he had to write it.
That's really brilliant.
It is.
You cannot cure a badly behaving man with affection. Mm-hmm. Wow. Are you ladies hearing this? You cannot cure a badly behaving man with affection. Wow, is that profound? Yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah.
They're all convinced that they can, though.
Works the same with doggies and...
So what's the answer for the dogs?
Well, you have to set the boundaries and, you know, just, you have to, I don't say be mean, but you have to draw the line and say, no, you can't do this. You just can't go, oh, pooty, pooty, and please don't do that. And that's what women try to do with guys.
Yeah.
Instead of just drawing the line and there being consequences and no, and just saying no.
Wow.
You know, it's like when you watch the Super Nanny or those shows where the kids are out of control. It's never a kid problem. I didn't reruns, I guess. Oh. It's not a kid problem. It's a parent problem. These people are morons. So.
I know.
Anyhow, I get really unnerved watching that.
All right.
Okay, the first question of the day, it's a dad writing. He says, I need some advice. I have a 13-year-old boy, and it seems that he is masturbating. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife is wanting me to talk with him, and I have no clue of what to tell him. Apparently, I asked, well, have you come upon this information? How do you know that? He said, his mother believes that she walked in on him when he was under the covers.
Okay.
I have not talked to him about any of this in the past. So he's 13, has not spoken a whit to his son about this. Mm-hmm. He was never talked to about it when he was a kid, of course, so he has no idea how to even approach the subject. He's looking for your wisdom.
Dude, shame on you. You're talking to me about it. Talk to your son about it. What's the matter with you? Come on.
He doesn't know how.
Just like he just did here. Did he say, oh, gee, I don't know how to email Mark Gunger. What do I say? He just said to me, my son's masturbating. Obviously, I don't want him to do it. That's what you do. You talk to him and say, hey, man, don't be doing that. We do have a DVD I think that would help you. It's called Sex, Dating, and Relating. It's for young teens where we touch on some of these subjects. But then you've got to get comfortable. You need to talk to him. Just sit down and say, man, don't go there. You don't need to do that. See, everybody around him saying, you got to do it, and it's good for you, and it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. I talk about it in my DVD, and watch that with him. Get a conversation going. But there is there's no way of removing the discomfort. It's going to be a little awkward. But you got a responsibility, dude, before God. You need to man up. You need to talk to your kid. Don't leave it up to your wife. He's 13. You haven't said anything to him? Shame on you. Talk to him. Goodness.
Okay.
He knows how to do it.
Even if you stumble and bumble through it, so what if your dad never talked to you?
What's the worst thing you can say? You know, just talk to him about it. Say, man, are you doing this? And no. Well, there'll be a lot of temptation to do it. A lot of people say to do it, but it's not a healthy thing to do. People say it is, but it's not. What happens? And again, we talk about it in my DVD, and I make my case for it. So that might be helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, go online, check out my DVD, Sex, Dating, and Relating for Young Teens, talking about sex and purity and all these different things that is important for them. Okay,
this guy says, my wife and I have been married for 9 years and have always had a heart for married couples. We have led and participated in small groups, now want to move forward into full-time ministry. What advice would you give to couples who are wanting to start a marriage ministry?
What kind of marriage ministry? Full-time? Like making a living at it?
Well, I don't think yet, no, because they're just going to start with some small groups and things like that. At the church, and eventually he said he'd like to do it large scale, so, but you just don't quit your day job. And
no, I guess you just start, just like I did or anybody else. You start small and see how people respond, and as God opens doors for you, just keep walking through it. I don't think I didn't start thinking, I'm going to start a national marriage ministry. That doesn't start, things don't happen that way.
You just start small and
start small,
the opportunities that you have.
Exactly. Knock away and see what happens. So, and if you have something specific, unique, and maybe you'll discover that as you work with couples, all of a sudden you'll discover, wow, we can really help people. We seem to really have a gift for dealing with people who X. And maybe that becomes your marriage ministry that blossoms into a national, international ministry. You don't know that, but there's no way you can figure that out now. You just start from the beginning, start small, and see what opens up. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you really try and really try and trill it and nothing happens and it never gets blessed and God never opens any other doors for you, then I would argue probably it's not your calling.
Even though you want to, it's
no, I know, but I mean, that's true with a lot of people.
Yeah, I know.
I had this friend who, felt really called to the ministry. I never thought that about him. But, you know, guys are going to do whatever they want to do. So he got a job at one church and they fired him. Went to another church and they fired him. Went to another church and they fired him. Went to another church and they fired him. Mm-hmm. And wrote me, says, boy, I'm just really trying to, I know God's really called me to the ministry. And I'd go, I don't think so.
Not if that many.
I mean, what evidence is there?
But people will say, oh, it's just the devil, and oh, he's just impeding this, working against me and trying to keep me out of what I'm supposed to be. You know, you've
so
heard
the
it.
Devil has possessed every single pastor you've ever worked with? I mean, come on. At some point, you got to quit being stupid. No. And some of these people, they're just hell-bent and they won't think. If you go out and you test something and God does not bless it, and you know, it's like someone who says, I feel called to be an evangelist, and you set up and start having meetings and nobody comes and nobody comes and nobody comes and nobody comes. Mm-hmm. But yet you're going to every friend and family you know to ask them for support for you to do your meeting, but nobody comes. I'm convinced I'm supposed to be an evangelist. Apparently not. Nobody responds to you. God isn't provided for you financially. There's no, you know, at some point you have to test something and see if it works. On the other hand, there's people like myself who start out with really no intention of doing much of anything. And all of a sudden, hundreds of people flood
happening.
The door, and this opens up, and that opens up, and someone asks you to do this, and da-da. Pretty soon, wow, your whole life's turning upside down because all these doors are open. That's how you know God's behind something. Just because you think you feel something doesn't really prove anything. The Bible talks about proving things, testing things. Mm-hmm. Put it to the test. Get out there and see what happens. If nothing happens, and God does not open any doors, then forget it. I've always been, even when I was doing my marriage ministry thing, we were first starting, and it was hard to get people to the conference. It was hard mm-hmm. to get people, and we were just starting the church in Stevens Point, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know, we're going to shut this down. I'm just going to focus on the church, because it's not really doing all that well, okay? Mm-hmm. So we made the decision. We're going to stop doing Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, okay? Mm-hmm. The very next conference, now all this time, we had been pulling teeth, bloody murder, trying to get these people to things. The very next event, packed out.
After you decided
to pull the walls. I mean, people were standing in line outside the building trying to get in. Oh, wow, that's amazing. The very next event, same thing. Packed out. The facility ran out of chairs. Yeah. People were still coming in and standing against the wall to listen to me. You know how long these things are? They're standing the entire time, leaning up against the wall to listen to what I had to say. The next week again, hundreds of people, almost 800, 900 people show up.
Well, it causes you to reevaluate your decision to pull the plug, that's for sure.
Maybe I shouldn't quit. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's like God shows up, hey, pay attention. Mm-hmm. I'm blessing this. Mm-hmm. A few weeks later, that's when someone comes up financially and says, I'll back you to the tune of blah, 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 if you'll keep doing this. Well, here God starts showing up. He provides the finances. Well, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Okay, maybe I should keep doing this. Yeah. God didn't speak to me or anything, but you tested it. And all of a sudden, and that's why we kept doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. If he hadn't have done that, and those last few events were as sucky as the ones before him,
you would have stopped.
I wouldn't be doing it. I'd just be pastoring, which is fine. I'm just saying. Yeah. So go test it. Just go test it. You don't know anything at this point. I feel God's called me a girl. You don't know anything. Just test it. See what. And if people respond and lives are being touched and changed, you know, it might just, God might always keep you at a small local church level. He might give you a statewide level. You don't know. Just test it and prove it. And step out in faith and see what happens. And consider the fact that you might be wrong.
Right. It might just
that's
be
some people can't handle.
Yeah.
I think God's called me to something. You might be wrong. You might not get this right. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Let's take a break. And we'll be back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We are back! The Mark Gunger Show, music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Answering your emails, or at least commenting on them.
Okay, here's a family dilemma question for you.
Family dilemma.
She says, we have a family member on my husband's side who is 22, and he got his 18-year-old girlfriend pregnant. They have no plans to marry. He does not love her. However, his mom and sisters are planning a baby shower for the girl and have invited me and my three daughters, ages 19, 13, and 11. Mm-hmm. We are newbie Christians and are still trying to instill certain values into our children. I'm not comfortable with going to the shower, even though my girls are excited to be invited. Although I would have no problem sending a gift, she says. We also have a 17-year-old son watching all of this from the sidelines. I've already talked to all four of our kids about sex and then brought it up again. I explained why we keep our pants on until marriage. Is this a teaching opportunity? Do we go or not go?
I think it's a teaching opportunity of compassion, love, and forgiveness. You go. You smile. You're sweet. All right? No one's advocating for them to have sex. But now this mom is having a grandchild. Mm-hmm. It's still her grandchild.
It is.
And whether or not the idiot son's going to do the right thing is his problem. It's still her grandchild. And she wants to celebrate that. Why don't you go celebrate with her? Mm-hmm. You know? And you can even say to the kids, you know, look, I mean, sometimes people do the wrong things. It doesn't mean that we hate them. It doesn't mean that God hates them. There's always forgiveness and stuff. You don't want to do it because now in this case, she's going to be trying to do it on her own.
Yeah.
Great teaching opportunity.
Yeah,
but you can
so
teach
too.
Them not to be, you know, self-righteous jerks by not showing up. You know, be nice. Be nice.
Just be nice. Answer a lot of problems in life, you know.
Just be nice. You think people could get that? Be nice. Now, sometimes, I will admit, situations call for actions that are not nice. You know, like when the Bible says don't have anything to do with someone who's sexually immoral, who calls themselves a brother, or you kick somebody out of the church. That would be in the not nice category. Sometimes you have to force issues. When a wife or husband separates from their spouse, that's not really in the nice category. You got to do it to force issues.
Whoops. I don't think you meant to do that.
It's a swirly.
You have to flush the issue.
I'm inadvertent swirly. I pushed the wrong button over here. Anyway, so in this case, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, you're not condoning anything. What you are,
I'm afraid she probably sees it as she is.
No, it's a great teaching moment. You know, and go and you. Okay, let's say one of your kids does make a mistake. You know, for thousands of years, this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets pregnant. Unintentionally, somebody in a moment of passion does something. So what, you want your kids to learn that if they make a mistake, they're doomed?
Mm-hmm.
God hates them. Nobody will talk to them. Is that your message? How about, here's someone who's failed, and let's go love on them.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down this path. You don't want to be like her. People get that. Who wants to have a baby all by themselves? Nobody wants to.
The dumbest person
in the world doesn't think in those terms.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your kids are incomprehensibly stupid, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But how about, here's a teaching moment, let's love on her even though she's failed.
Yeah.
That's the teaching moment you should be
giving. You have
given.
To have the grace in there too. I'm really careful about that with my kids because they know what my line is and what I've taught them, but I always am careful to say, but listen, stuff happens, we make wrong choices. Don't ever be afraid and think that if you do such and such a thing or cross the line or make a mistake, I will still be here for you. It'll be hard. There'll be consequences. I can't take it all away for you, but please always feel like you can come to me because I've known kids who their parents, like the line is up here and they fall short. They can't come to their parents. They make worse decisions based upon the fear of disappointing their parents and letting them down, and bad stuff really happens. So it's like coating it with the grace on top of keeping the bar.
It's a difficult call because sometimes the right thing is a very tough response.
Mm-hmm.
For example, somebody I don't know who doesn't know God, they act immorally. I'm way easier than that on that than if my kids who I raised in the church and taught values and they do something immorally. You know, can I bring my gay lover over to your house? No.
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 You know, I mean, just for because of the context of the of the situation.
Yeah.
Having said that, I've got friends, you know, we got a good friend, a good couple in South Africa. They're a gay couple. And they meet us at the airport. We see him, he hugs us, we hug him, we go over to the house for dinner, we hang out. Now they know we disagree, we don't approve, they don't claim to be Christians in any way, shape, or form. They'll even come to my conference, just the kind of support, and sit there, you know, smile and compliment me afterwards, and just be nice to them. Why? They're gay, okay. No one's condoning it, but you can be nice to them. If it was my daughter, it'd be a little bit different. So sometimes these lines, you know, gotta use your thought process.
Caution, The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I keep seeing your face when I close my eyes. I love the way you move me and take me by surprise. The way you get under my skin. With every
I truly love this man's music, Michael O'Brien.
You're killing me.
Check out his music, michaelo.org. You're listening to the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails with Diane Brierley and Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Okay, the next email says, "Hi, gang. In reference to separation versus divorce, I brought this to my pastor's attention. I'm curious what your response is so I can better prepare the next time I get this same response. Mark says separate, and I agree. When I said this to my pastor, he said, but it could end up going the other way. What he meant by that is if there were to be a separation, it could give the person the green light to continue, I suppose, continue on with the bad behavior. But mm-hmm. now they just have more freedom to do it because you're not there to watch them. No, she wants to know your thoughts.
He's wrong. He's just wrong. I don't know what else to tell you. It might give... What's a bigger green light is you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What's the bigger green light?
That's a full-on green light.
Full-on green light. You stay there and you keep supporting and taking care of him while he keeps doing whatever the bad things he's doing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what he's thinking, you know. Now, there is a Bible verse that very clearly says a woman should not separate from her husband. But then it goes on right afterwards. It says, but if she does, you know, so mm-hmm. people did it in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you do it. Ideally, you wouldn't. Of course not. But ideally, you don't have a husband who has girlfriends, who's getting drunk, who's gambling the money away, who's doing all kinds of inappropriate behavior. In those situations, I advocate big time for separation. But again, people, hear me. The separation I'm talking about doesn't involve lawyers. Doesn't involve anything. We're talking, it's 24 hours, it's over. Mm-hmm. The minute he comes home, or she comes, whoever's acting badly, and you're not there, but it's more powerful on men. When a guy comes home and his wife is not there, he freaks. Yeah. And he calls you, why? And then you connect the lines. I told you, don't you ever come in drunk like that again. I mean, it jerks the slack out of them. And if women would do this early in their marriage, they could save their marriages. This pastor, he says, oh, no, I might encourage it. No guy comes home and his wife's not there going, all right, she's gone. He's an idiot. He's wrong.
Wondering...
Because if they could leave and have that happen anyway.
Yeah.
They could leave the spouse. They want that spouse there. They don't understand. They want that spouse, and they want that cover of legitimacy, mm-hmm. and they want that structure of home. And when you come home and you're not there, there's anything's possible. There might be that 1/100th of a percent somewhere, some guy. But it makes no sense. Why would some guy come home, his wife not there, and celebrate and go, oh, good, now I can really party more? That premise the pastor is saying is completely wrong.
The one situation that I'm wondering if this is what he was thinking is if they're actually involved with somebody else and having an affair, that I think in that case that sometimes they do, I'm leaving you, well, that's good, I have my girlfriend, or that's good, I have my boyfriend on the side. And
yeah, but
that's different than the
other. There's an argument
at
that point that the marriage has been dissolved
right.
anyway. Once you cross that, now I'm not saying you have to end it. Lots of people have worked through adultery mm-hmm. and kept their marriages together. But just that other, if there is one clear reason for divorce, it's that.
Yeah.
So if you got a husband or wife who's out having sex with somebody else.
What are you going to do, stay there anyway?
Well, I know. I mean, what? It doesn't make any sense.
Because if
well,
I leave, then he's going to go turn off
okay.
with the girlfriend?
Okay.
Well, what are you going to do, sit there and stay and wait while he's...
Now, on the other hand, there is that thinking of someone saying, you know, I'm really thinking about I want to leave. And the spouse says, no, I'm not leaving. We're not going to get a divorce. And then you fight for the marriage. Like that one article.
Right.
Is that even still posted on our
yes,
site?
It is.
It's a great article about fighting for your marriage.
Yes.
But he wasn't having an affair or some other girlfriend coming
out.
Over. He just wanted out. And she said, oh, she fought for her marriage. Mm-hmm. The point of separation is to slap somebody. Mm-hmm. It is a strong emotional slap.
It's an attention getting.
It's seriously attention getting. You girls don't get this. And here's the thing. All y'all who have these terrible marriages, no, I can't separate. I can't separate. You're all going to leave him anyway. But then you'll divorce him. They all do it anyway. They wait until they snap.
Yep.
And if they would just confront the situation early on, don't you ever do that again. You're going to come home. I'm not going to be here. Yeah, stupid. Blah. He comes home. You're not there. They freak. They always freak. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want you there, they wouldn't come home. Mm-hmm. The fact that they ever come home, they want that home. They want that structure. They want the benefits of the marriage. They just want to go party. Well, you say you can't have both, and you confront it. Most of the separation I'm talking about, it's over in 24 hours, 36 max. You come home, he freaks. He's calling, he's begging, he's crying. Some of these guys are in fetal positions in tears, begging their wives to come home.
Yep.
That's when you jerk the slack out of the guy and you let him know this is unacceptable. And he learns. And if he doesn't, he does it again, you do it again. Even a dog at some point can be trained. There are a lot of guys who will tell you that they would try and do anything until that one time their wife stood up to them. And they realized that she was serious, and it jerked the slack out of them.
Yep. I just had someone do that that's close friends with us. She just put the hammer down because he was just being a real heel for quite a long time. He just wouldn't get it. He wouldn't listen. So finally she said, nope, I'm done. You know, I just don't think we're going to be able to do this anymore. So he called me and says, hey, man, looks like I'm moving out today. I said, well, let's talk. But she was dead serious. Next thing you know, I get a phone call. We're talking within 24 hours. He's coming unglued. He's just unraveling at the seams.
Nope.
What do I do? I'm like, dude, listen to her. straighten up and fly right.
Isn't that right? 24 hours. I'm telling you, these women don't believe me. Yeah. What you don't understand, what I'm talking about, you resolve these horrible situations in your marriages that all you girls are carrying. Most of you could resolve it in 26 to 36 hours. It's over.
Yes.
It's over. If you just stand up, move out, freak the willies out of him. Well, nobody's talking divorce. Nobody's talking. I'm talking, man, just go to a spa and ring up his credit card a little bit and get some massages and just, you know, go swimming and relax. Yeah. Nice hotel, nice meals. By the time you're done relaxing, he's going to be a complete emotional mess, and you come home, and he gets it now.
Yes.
But he needs to know what he did wrong and what he has to do to make it right. I was just involved in a little situation with somebody that it's very vague and gushy, and she has not explained to him, well, you just need to act like a better husband.
That doesn't even make sense.
That's just vague.
But I think a lot of the guys, have been told. They've been told over and over and over.
No, but she's talking about women who are.
But then they stop saying it. Then they stop.
No, you're missing her point. Her point is these women who.
There was one?
There's this nebulous thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You got to be a better husband.
What does that mean?
He doesn't know what to do.
Yes. Yes. And in that case, she has no business separating for that kind of reason. No.
Right.
We're talking specific, outrageous behavior.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's not specific. There isn't a specific fix for him. It's not a short term. Until you can be a better husband, you can't come back. They don't have a lot of other people. My wife left me 30 times last week. He can't win. You have to make this so that he can succeed in doing what he needs to do.
Look, some people are just clueless.
They don't
get this. But for those of you who are semi-intelligent, listen to me. We're talking, he has girlfriends.
Yes.
He's looking at porn. He's gambling all the money away. He takes off and never tells you where he's going. He's having inappropriate relations with women, whatever. These are very clear. You do not tolerate these things. All the women who cry because their husband's doing that, they're the ones who tolerate it. They don't do anything, they just cry. Yeah. The women who know what they're talking about, they don't tolerate it. And they don't you dare do that. And if they do it, they come home, she's not there, he freaks and jerks the slacks at them, and they save their marriage.
This couple, literally, within that 24-hour window, they were out for dinner, and he was willing to do the very things that she had been asking him to do, reconnecting. They planned a vacation to go somewhere. It's like their honeymoon that they never had for the first time in like 2.5 years, all because she defined for him, this is what you need to do.
But it was well-defined. That's the whole thing. When you don't have well-defined steps that he can take to make this right, you can come back home if and when,
But if you just
make it this big amoeba-like thing that nobody can grab a hold of, it's not going to work. It's going to fail.
You know, I saw this in counseling women. You see it all the time. They would cry and stuff, and you'd pray with them and hang in there and just, you know, have love and everything. But it never changes anything.
No.
Right.
The only thing I've ever seen change is when they leave. Mm-hmm. Then he freaks, and he's willing to change overnight. Mm-hmm. That's why I believe in this. Yeah. Now, ideally, should you support? No. But ideally, you shouldn't have a husband who has girlfriends. Yeah. Ideally, you have a husband who's not looking at porn and masturbating. Ideally, you don't have a guy who's stealing all the money and going gambling and stuff. All these outrageous things that some of you girls struggle with. He hits you or whatever. You tolerate this. You put up with this. At some point, you guys become enablers of this terrible behavior. How do I get him to stop? Just tell him. You do it again. You're going to come home. I'm not going to be here. He won't believe you. He comes home. You're not there. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. He'll freak. And you'll get the change that you want. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails. What you got?
This email's from a man. He says, I just found your show a few weeks ago. I'm almost through all of the archives. Wow, that's a lot of listening.
Sure, man.
Just can't seem to get enough of your honesty and outlook on Christianity of today. Thank you for your dedication to the truth. He says, I was married once before, back before I truly came to Christ, caught my ex-wife cheating on me with some guy and kicked her out.
Ouch.
A few years after the divorce, I came to God. I was in church every Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, really poured himself into it. He said, during that time, I felt an unshakable feeling that God was calling me to preach. Well, I took this to my pastor at the time, and everything went downhill from there. I was made to feel like I had no reason to be feeling this because I was divorced, that I would never be able to follow my calling. That was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But today, he still feels this longing and calling to be preaching. So I checked with the seminary in my state and intend to go next fall, but I'm terrified that they will deny my application based on my past. And if they don't and he gets through, he wonders what church would actually allow him to speak. He's been remarried now for 2 years. He mm-hmm. wants to know, what advice from your ocean of wisdom can you give me to defend and or reason with people who say that my calling is false and I have no right to preach God's word? How do I reason with people?
You don't. You go to a different denomination. Okay, there's lots of them that don't have a problem with this, who understand mm-hmm. a second chance. There are churches like Assemblies of God. If you've been divorced, you can never, ever, 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 ever pastor. I was telling the other day about my friend Mari Davis down in Nashville. So he's guilty of killing a guy. Mm-hmm. All right. Gets out of prison, serving God today. Big church in Nashville. So he hires this guy on staff who had been divorced. And of course, the district just had a fit. So they'd call him in. I don't know if he wants me sharing the story, but I'll tell it anyway. And calls him in, and they're reading him the Riot Act. How can you? You can't have this guy. You can't minister. He's divorced. He says, boy, guys, he says, I'm so lucky. All I ever did was kill somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because as long as I just killed somebody, I could still minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. But if I'd have done something really bad, like divorce, I'd never be able to.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he just rebuked him big time.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they eventually shut him, left him alone. But, you know, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, seriously, you can kill somebody mm-hmm. and get saved. We're cool with that. Mm-hmm. You can steal. Mm-hmm. We're cool with that. You can lie. We're cool with that. You can do it. But if you get divorced, then you can never pastor or minister again. Yeah.
Be a junkie and a drug dealer.
Yeah, I think it's a little inconsistent, to say the least. There are many churches out there. Listen, dude, the fastest growing churches that I'm aware of anyway are all independent churches, and they don't have any of these denominational pinheads watching over them anyway. Go find one of them. Lots of schools. So if you're in a denomination, it'd be interesting what denomination he is. For all I know, he is AG, but whatever it is, not that AG people are bad, they're great people, you know.
It's just, they just have their rules.
That's their rules. That's fine, mm-hmm. you know. That's the other thing. Sometimes people are in a church and they're mad at their rules. Well, don't yell at the people. That's their rules. You know that. Yeah. If you're not comfortable, go find someplace else. That's their rules. They're happy with it. They're content with it. Great. Okay. It's not to demean them per se, even though I just criticize them. You know, but if you're not comfortable with those rules and you feel God's calling you, then go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you're in a particular church denomination, you think all Christians think that way. Right. They don't. They know there's not one denomination where everybody thinks like that denomination. So if you're part of a fellowship of churches or denomination that says you cannot serve God if you're bald, then go to a church that doesn't care if you're bald. There's a bunch of them out there. All right. So, which is good for guys like me.
Indeed.
That's a good thing.
All right.
Okay. This guy's writing. He's taken some exception to something that you said. So,
what?
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody taking exception to what you say. Mm-hmm. Dear Mark, I love your show. I usually agree with you on most points. However, there is one point on which I believe you are far off base.
Okay.
You advocate either a friend telling a person that his or her spouse is having an affair, or that person must tell his or her spouse that there was an affair, which is now long over. Mm-hmm. I believe that to be ill-advised. The mm-hmm. Christian's obligation is to, one, repent of the sin, two, confess the sin, and three, make amends wherever possible. Mm-hmm. But in no case, at no time, and for no reason, is that Christian obligated or allowed to do any of the above in any way or any place whereby another person would suffer harm. No one ever has the right to injure them or others just so they can clear their own conscience.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's talking about. There must have been some advice I said somewhere about
it. Yeah, some guy had the affair and didn't want to tell his wife. And you have
I can't remember what the context was. I can't respond to this. He's yelling about something. I don't even remember what the context was. Sure, what you just say all sounds reasonable. I don't know why I said whatever I said in that one particular case. Obviously, there must have been something.
I think
if someone comes and confesses you a sin, I don't think you should go around and tell other people. No, I don't think so.
No, what you were saying was this guy wrote in and he had multiple affairs with prostitutes and things, mm-hmm. and he was afraid that if he told his wife and came clean, he'd lose his marriage. And you told him that he needs to come clean.
But what he's talking about is I implied that someone else should tell on him.
Or you need to tell your spouse too. No, Yeah, I mean,
that's,
if you knew,
I think that's what he's saying.
Like, if you knew one of your friends was having an affair, you would blow the whistle and say something.
Yeah, which is a little bit different than if he comes to you in confidence and confesses it. Yes. You're right. If someone comes in confidence, I don't think you should go blow.
No.
But if you know they're acting badly, I'd blow the whistle on
it. And if someone has an affair in their own
marriage,
I'd
say, Susie, you know, Bob is out there and he's seeing prostitutes and stuff. You need to, you know, deal. Yes. So, I would. Yeah. I think that's the right thing
and
to
do. And you do need
not,
to.
Not in a way to crush anybody, but a chance to save it, because they're not going to save their marriage doing that. But
if it's in your own marriage,
it just sounds like he's saying, I told someone who was told something to go tell the spouse. That's what it sounds like he's saying there.
Well, partly. I mean, he's saying both things. But if you have an affair,
but if you're guilty of it, you should tell your spouse. Yeah. I think they have every right to know.
Yeah, he's saying that it's not right that, if it comes to light and you lose your marriage, okay. But he says if you've repented to God for the affair that you've had, you shouldn't have to tell your wife.
No, I disagree with him. I disagree with him. In that case, I think he's wrong.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to go to your grave with that guilt over your head?
Well, that's what he's saying. If you repent of it, if you confess the sin and make amends, well, how are you going to make amends?
You didn't just sin against God.
No. You did against your wife.
That's what they don't get. Well, that's just between you and God. No, it's not.
And you're still lying because a lie of omission is still a lie.
Yeah. You sin against your spouse. That's a big violation. Yeah. If you sin against someone, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go make it right with them. Mm-hmm. He needs to go make it right with the girl and say, well, I asked God to forgive you. Well, okay, but you didn't really sin against God. I mean, I've done this. You know, I'll be real mean to someone.
Yeah.
Hard to imagine me doing that.
No, can't imagine that.
And then I'll pray and say, Father, forgive me for being so mean. And it's almost like God saying, you weren't mean to me.
Yeah.
You need to go talk to him. It's easy, convenient for me to be really mean and nasty to you, and then I ask God to forgive me in my private prayer lives, and I never apologize to you. That's not the way it works, I don't think.
No.
So, it's just my advice. And whatever the particular situation was that on the email that I got, I'm sure it seemed reasonable to me at the time. But those people who say don't ever tell them because it's...
Oh, yeah, there are people who say don't confess the affair to your spouse. If it's over and you've ended it, just move on.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. Yeah, I know. That it's...
And no one really, what's the definitive answer? I don't know. You can see both sides of it. My advice was, I think, for your own sanity... Yeah. The reason these people even write us is because they're still guilt-ridden. Mm-hmm. If it was so easily taken, why are they writing me?
Yeah. Should I tell?
Well, they're writing me because they feel awful about it. They're haunted by it. Well, God forgave you. Okay, but that's not why they're haunted. They don't have a problem with God. Mm-hmm. They have a problem with that person. They said, I would not cheat on you, and they did.
Yeah.
And I think...
It's an awful big burden.
It's a big burden. You know, I don't know. Guys, it's all in degrees. I mean... If I have a lustful thought for a woman, I don't think it's helpful to go tell my wife.
No, that's different.
Did you see the Hooters and that girl? I shouldn't have been thinking about it, but I sure was. You know, that's...
That becomes hurtful and destructive. Yeah,
I've heard that before, and I told you about this.
People will do that,
I know they do.
Well, no, a minister once said that, if you see a lustful thought out there, he went home to his wife and said, honey, I saw these great-looking pair of legs, and I just had to come home to you.
No.
Yeah, I don't think that's helpful.
Good.
But again, that's different. When you actually cheat on someone, you give yourself, and you're physically having sex with someone you're not married to, I just think it's a big problem. Look, if you don't agree, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Look, these guys write and ask what I think.
Right.
I'm not the Bible, and there's a lot of gray in the Bible, and this show's just about what I think. That's what I think. I think if you've committed adultery, you really ought to tell your spouse. That's what I think. All right? If you disagree with me, I'm cool with that. I'm not going to go to the mat on it. Mm-hmm. I'll lay down my life for the cause of Christ. I'm not going to lay down my life on that.
No.
You hold a gun to my head and say, don't say that. I'll go, okay. Well, I won't say that anymore.
And if this gentleman writing has had an affair and doesn't want to tell his wife, hey, that's your call.
That's between him and God, and his wife and everybody else. You're asking my opinion. That's my opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take our final break. We'll be back right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
We are back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails, along with Diane and Ross. I am, of course, Mark Gunger. We just, someone emailed us debating whether or not if you commit adultery, whether or not you're required to tell your spouse. People have different opinions about it. Mm-hmm. I think the healthiest thing is for you to fess up. I do remember reading, it wasn't too long ago, some story of some 90-some-year-old
guy. Yeah, we talked about that one.
Oh, yes, deathbed.
Was on his deathbed, confessed that.
Like for 60 years of the marriage, he'd been unfaithful to her.
And then he dies. And of course, you can imagine, she felt, now her whole life has been a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least in that case,
and it was just to assuage his conscience.
Yeah, that's my point. You are filled with guilt still.
Yeah. Yep.
Better to deal with it early on, because now she finds out, or somebody else. Oh, we were at a story where someone found out,
and then he left.
That they had been unfaithful.
Mm-hmm. That was like 60 years.
Yeah,
together.
That was 60 years again.
And
too,
then he immediately divorced it after, yep. even though it happened 6 years, yeah. because at that point you realized. The one case somebody confessed, the other one he discovered it,
yeah.
which this other anybody can do it sometime. They'll discover the affair, and now they feel like the last.
However many
60 years of
years.
Your life was a lie.
Yeah.
And it's emotionally devastating. I think it's very cruel. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, look, you commit the crime, do the time.
Yeah.
Go to your, of course they're going to be upset. Might end in divorce. Might.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throw yourself on the mercy of the court.
Mm-hmm.
They might keep you around, but don't.
But if you've been holding on to it for 20 years, it's not like you're all of a sudden telling somebody right now, go and unleash this 20-year secret.
Dude, it's like it happened immediately. The minute you find out about it, it's like it happened just then and there.
So, I mean,
it's brutal.
I wrestle with this one because if it just happened yesterday, yeah. But if it was 30 years ago.
No, I'm telling you, even 30 years ago. Because what'll happen, the minute you tell them, it's like it happened yesterday.
Oh, exactly.
It's mm-hmm. very painful. But that's what I'm saying. Now they're living under this whole pretense. All these years, if they find out later, they're going to feel like they've been robbed all this time. It's not fair to people. How about this? Don't commit adultery. See ya!
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!